With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Something that I always really enjoyed doing when I was younger was visiting my family's cabin. My family up north always had a really cool secluded cabin up in Vermont, and it was always so much fun to see the wildlife and stuff. I only got to go to it a couple of times since I'm all the way down here in the south, brother, but I really did enjoy the times that I did get to go up there. I even grew up in a cabin myself that was built in the early 1800s. That cabin was definitely haunted, if you would have to ask my opinion on it. Anyways, these viewers sent in their allegedly true, creepy encounters while visiting cabins deep within the woods. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a story from a cabin or something entirely different, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help this show keep going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get ready for some truly spooky stories. This happened to me and my friend, Scott, about 1 month ago. It was late June. My friend and I were going camping in the Adirondack Mountains. We were going to stay in my grandfather's cabin. It was on the edge of the Adirondacks, about 20 miles from Old Forge. My friend and I were very interested in cryptids and stuff like that. We took this trip just to kind of relax and get away from our everyday stress. Our camp is right next to a creek. We got there about 3 hours, and we just relaxed the first day. There was one creepy thing about the camp. We only had 3 camps near us, and one of them was an abandoned camper that looked like it was from the 1990s. My grandpa said he has never seen people there or lights on or anything. We went hiking and swimming on the first day. We got back to the camp at about 5 p.m., and we just relaxed for a couple of hours. At some time around 9 p.m., we decided to start a fire. We brought flashlights and a knife just in case. It didn't start getting weird till about 10 p.m. We went inside to get more wood, and we looked to where the abandoned camper was. There were lights on all around it. Scott and I just looked at each other confused. There were obviously logical explanations for this, though. We decided to shrug it off and went back to the fire. We were just sitting there when we started to hear stuff on the other side of the creek. Branches breaking. Footsteps, it sounded like. We both heard it, but every time we shined our flashlight over there, we saw nothing, and the noises would stop. Later, at about 10:30, we heard something run across the creek in the water and heard noises on our side of the creek. We went back to the house, thinking that it was over. At about 11 p.m., we heard something bang on the cabin door. There was no way in hell we were going to get up and check that. We just sat there in pure silence. We then heard the thing walk to the other side of the cabin, and we thought it was over. We were wrong. We started hearing noises on the roof. It sounded like something crawling on the roof trying to get into the cabin. It eventually stopped and we fell asleep. Now, it doesn't stop here either. The next morning, we ate breakfast and decided to go on a walk. It was about a 2-mile hike on roads in the middle of the forest. There was only one house on this hike. The first part of the hike was normal. Then we got to the part in the forest. We were heading down this hill when we saw this thing. It looked like a very pale human on all fours crawling on the road. It was very skinny, and if I had to say, it was probably about 6.5 feet tall or so. It was the stuff out of nightmares. It turned at us, looked at us, and made this high-pitched screech. It darted to the side of the road and into the forest. We ran back just in case this thing was going to chase us while it was in the forest. I've been doing some research on what this thing was, and it sounds like it could be a crawler. What do you guys think? For background information, this happened to me when I was 13 or 14 years old. The year was either 2010 or 2011. My family and I, along with my sister's boyfriend and my best friend, went and stayed at a friend's lakeside cabin for a weekend getaway. For the sake of the story, I'll call my best friend Jay and my sister's boyfriend Tom. So the lakeside cabin we were staying in was a really nice place. It had about 4 bedrooms and a decent plot of land right on the water, a fire pit, and a hammock. A perfect place to spend a relaxing weekend. There were a lot of neighboring houses and the lake varying between beautiful $500,000 cabins and then some normal-sized ones. But all in all, they were all really nice. The lake is pretty far out in the middle of nowhere, in rural, upstate New York, so you get that a lot. Nothing but trees for miles. There was one outlier, however. There was an abandoned cabin about 4 or so houses down from the one we were staying at that bordered the woods, and it looked like it hadn't been touched in 20 years. The small concrete front porch was still cracked in half, trees were overgrown, and it was just a fairly creepy sight. I convinced my best friend Jay and my sister's boyfriend Tom to go explore it. For reference, my best friend and I were 13 or 14 at the time and Tom was 20 or 21. We went to explore it on the second day we were there. We made sure not to tell my parents as they definitely wouldn't have liked the idea. So we entered the front door, which was surprisingly completely unlocked. Or maybe just the old age and neglect had deteriorated the lock. I'm not sure. As soon as we went in, we could see no one had been there for years. It was very apparent. There was dust everywhere, and there were animal feces all up and down the staircase that was immediately in front of the front door. We went into the kitchen, and I recall everything being really outdated, but nothing really out of the ordinary. So we went to check in the living room next, and that's when things started to feel off. First, we started to realize that the previous owner still had a lot of possessions here. It wasn't empty like you'd think it would have been. It was quite literally abandoned. I'm not just talking about furniture, but there were books, an old TV, posters on the walls. It was like someone left one day and never came back. We noticed a really creepy poster on the wall that looked like it was from the 70s or so. It had a picture of 2 teddy bears making out. We started to feel uncomfortable seeing this, because who would have a poster of that in their living room? There was also old Playboy magazines from the 70s, I think, sitting on the table. In hindsight, I guess that's not really weird, but to 13-year-old me, it seemed odd. Especially since, again, this was in the living room, and you'd think they would have been stashed in a bedroom somewhere. We then decided to go check out the upstairs where the bedrooms were. We were careful not to step on the various amounts of animal crap up the stairs. We went into the bedroom on the left and it was almost empty. Just a bed and nothing else. I thought this was odd because downstairs was completely furnished and nothing was moved at all. With nothing to see here, we went out and into the next bedroom. As soon as we entered the next bedroom, I think all 3 of us immediately freaked out. We looked at the bed to see bloodstains. Old, old bloodstains. Nothing else in the room except a bloody mattress. No sheets or anything. We all started talking about what it could be at first. We tried to talk it off as possible sweat stains that came with the old mattress, but we knew we were just trying to feel better about what we were seeing. We quickly ran down the stairs and out of the door, back to the safety of our cabin, just four cabins down the road. We still didn't really believe what we had seen. I mean, did we just discover a murder scene? We have no idea. It just sticks with me to this day. I still wonder why the bedrooms were empty while everything else was left untouched downstairs. I believe we may truly have found the room where someone was murdered, so they emptied out everything that may have had blood splatter or evidence. But if that's the case, why leave the mattress? Maybe they had to leave in a hurry and never could come back for it. If you guys have any ideas, please let me know. I haven't tried to go back to that cabin, but maybe one day I will. In 2012, I went to band camp with my daughter, who was going into her sophomore year at high school. I was super excited and proud that she joined the marching band. She played the flute. The campground we went to was mainly a Boy Scout campground, but was also used by Girl Scouts and high school bands. The kids were separated into girls in one cabin and boys in another across the practice field, with the appropriate chaperones, moms and dads, volunteers, etc. Band camp days consisted of waking up early, going to the mess hall, and eating, then straight to the field for all-day practice. The only breaks were for meals, bathroom, or to get hydrated, as it was also very hot during the day. After the kids would get started with practicing the show routine, we moms would watch for a while, then either go take walks or go back to the cabin to take our showers. The girls' cabin consisted of boys' and a girls' bathroom. The next morning we were there is when the weirdness started. The girls refused to utilize both bathrooms to shower and get ready with, and they all would pile into the girls' bathroom. I was like, what the heck? I'm gonna go where no one else is and had my own bathroom, so to speak. I walked into the bathroom to use the toilet after waking up. As I was sitting in the stall, I heard what you would think is the kind of noise you'd hear from steam pipes. I looked up and saw that there were pipes, so I didn't think much more about it. I went about brushing my hair and teeth and getting ready for the day. Every time I would go into this bathroom, I would hear this noise. It was kind of like a hissing or a whispering sound. About the third time of going to use the bathroom and hearing this, I would sit there and try to tune into it. Because honestly, it started to sound like whispering, and I would be the only one in the cabin. Everyone else was on the field. I also started to get this weird feeling that I was not alone, that feeling of being watched. The second morning, I'm using the bathroom. The noise is louder and actually sounds like a voice this time. I just continue what I'm doing, brush my teeth, brush my hair. As I'm putting my hair up into a ponytail, I hear this voice clear and plain as day, right next to my ear. "Hey, can you hear me?" I instantly froze, arms in midair. Look to my right to see who's standing there, and there's nobody. I scooped up all of my stuff off the counter and booked it out of the bathroom so fast. I threw my stuff on the bunk and couldn't get out of that cabin fast enough. I ran all the way back to the field. I didn't step another foot into the boys' bathroom for the rest of the week. I gave the doorway a very wide berth every time I walked by it. I used the girls' bathroom for the rest of the time. I told my daughter what happened, and that was it. I didn't know who or what it was, didn't want to know, and I certainly didn't want any attachments upon leaving. I have always been able to feel spirits, a clairsentient, if you will. I have been touched, seen things in my peripheral vision, but never spoken to. That really freaked me out, so I have blocked myself off a little from the spirit world, kind of like a protective barrier. I have other stories that have happened over the years since childhood that I may share in the future. I just wanted to get this one out. I've been listening to your show every night before bed for quite a while now. I like your sense of humor and your shows seem legit. I have a mind-blowing encounter, but no visual encounter. I'll paint the picture for you guys as best as possible in my words. It was Memorial Weekend at my parents' cabin in Frederick, Michigan, Crawford County, Kalkaska. We were on Little Manistee River, off Cameron Bridge and Manistee River Road. Well, the weather was 50 to 60 degrees, and the time was after midnight. It was me, my brother Mike, my brother Cody, and my uncles Darren and Dominic sitting around the fire. It was a clear sky and zero wind, and a quiet night, until all hell broke loose. We were just sitting there conversing at the fire. All of a sudden, we hear this. I just got the chills as I'm telling you this. All of a sudden, this noise changed my life forever, and my aspect of Bigfoot. It went exactly like this, and I will never forget it. Each syllable got louder and louder. Only 30 yards or so from the fire at the top of the hill. It was so dark you couldn't see 15 or 20 feet away from the glow of the bonfire. Anyways, this thing whooped and took off down the hill towards the river. We could hear it crashing and smashing and breaking trees and brush till it got to the river. We heard it splash across the river. It sounded like a rhino charging and taking out everything in its sight. I just got the chills again. So at this point, when that thing whooped in the first crash of breaking of trees, my Uncle Darren jumped out of his chair so fast and bolted to the door and got one of his guns off the rack. We all looked at each other. We were honestly in awe. We all jumped up and ran as fast as we could to the door as well. We were so freaked out, but none of us had any clue why. Now, I've been hunting and in the woods ever since I was a little boy. I'm 37 years old now. I have the chills again typing this. I've never, and I mean never, heard an animal make that noise and be that destructively loud ever in my life. It was ape-like almost. No animal I've ever hunted made this whooping noise, not even a bear. I'm telling you, I've hunted everything from bear to moose. Nothing makes this noise. This was like an ape-like sound, and it was huge. At least it sounded huge. I never checked the morning after for a sign. I didn't know any better. Now I know, and I'm more familiar with what to look for. But at the time, I was just so scared. When I went home after this trip, I surfed the internet and looked up probably 200 to 300 videos on Bigfoot. I came across one. It's the only one that I could compare to this noise and what we heard. It was a Les Stroud story on Bigfoot encounters, and he goes on about how these wolves would howl and the moose would make these noise when these Bigfoot would come through the area. They would always make this whoop 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 noise. I was like, oh my god, that's what I heard. If I had to take a guess what we all experienced that day, it must have been a Sasquatch of some sort. But maybe it was something different. And if you guys have any ideas of what it could be, please let me know in the comments. And thanks for sharing my story. I live in a large city at the foot of Pikes Peak in Colorado. This story takes place a few years ago in a smaller town in the mountains right near Pikes Peak. A little background about this before we go forward. Here in Colorado, we have history of multiple Native American tribes that once occupied a lot of the land here. But sadly, that just isn't the case anymore. Growing up here, we've all heard the legends and just talked about scary stories, but never thought any of them were real. Until this happened. My best friend has a log cabin type house far up in the mountains that her dad built from the ground up. We often have sleepovers over there. I'll describe the layout of the house real quick because it will become important later on. She had a trampoline in her living room. Yes, she had a full-size trampoline net, and it's weird, I know. The second floor of her house was open in the way that there was a balcony that you could look over to see the living room. Her brother's room was right up there, next to that balcony. It was cut off by like a cubicle-type wall, for privacy. So, it was a normal sleepover, where we watch movies and drink hot cocoa on a cold winter night. It was sometime after 1 a.m. when we started to get the trampoline ready for us to sleep on. We were laying down blankets and getting pillows, when one of those large cardboard rolls that are left after you use wrapping paper flew over the separating wall of the balcony. Thinking it was her brother, telling us to shut up, we brushed it off. We then go and brush our teeth and wash our faces, and come to see a water bottle on the trampoline that we assumed her brother had thrown over again. My friend grabs it and notices an odd smell coming from it, so she unscrews the lid, and out came a disgusting scent of vomit. Not just any vomit, though. Like the most potent, disgusting-smelling vomit. It made our eyes burn. As we're gagging, we head up the stairs to confront her brother, when we see he's not even home. We think he's hiding from us, so we start looking around for him, telling him to come out but get no response. We decided to tell her mom. When we entered her room, we see that her brother is sleeping on the floor, next to her parents' bed, and we got really confused. When we woke her mom up at 1 a.m, she obviously was mad, so we had to explain what happened, that her brother was throwing stuff at us from the balcony. She explains that he has been in here since 9 a.m, and we both get chills and our eyes go wide because we realized, if he was here, who was up there? Refusing to go back out there, we sleep in the same room with her mom and stepdad, and in the morning, we get the courage to go upstairs where things were thrown from our horror. It looks like Freddy Krueger went crazy. There were claw marks all over the walls and through several posters. Books were knocked off shelves and clothes were ripped out of drawers. It was just a complete mess. It looked like a wild animal ruined everything and robbed them at the same time. The scariest thing is, we never heard any of it all night long. Later that day, my friend went to take a shower while I finished my dinner, and about 10 minutes later, I hear a blood-curdling scream and run upstairs to find my friend is in tears, naked and afraid. She tries her best to explain what happened to me. What she told me scared me, even to this day. She said while she was mid-shampoo in the shower, eyes closed, she heard the door open and assumed it was me, and just asked if I was finished eating. She got no response, so when she rinsed and looked up, she saw the bathroom empty and thought she was just hearing things, so she brushed it off. So when she got out of the shower, she bent down to put her hair in the towel. When she comes back up, she is face to face with a Native American looking woman with wolf skin on her. She puts her fingers to her lips and says, "Shh." We end up staging the house and tried to investigate who owned the land before her family, and her mother stated that it was only recently that they started selling the land to build upon, due to Native Americans holding it. To this day, we still have so many unanswered questions. Why did that water bottle smell like that? Why were things being thrown at us in the first place? And what were this spirit's true intentions? I have family that lives close to the Ontario-Quebec border in Canada, and specifically near Renfrew County. In this county, there's an old cabin that was built in the early 1940s, and is apparently the place where a certain very famous syphilitic gangster chose to lay low after some prison time. Due to this affiliation, the cabin is locally famous, and people who know where it is get a hoot out of going to check it out. My grandma, step-grandpa, and their best friends, another married couple, went to check it out sometime. It's pretty deep in the surrounding woods, apparently, and when they got there, they were a bit disappointed. An average, run-of-the-mill wood cabin, not in the best repair, with a couple of windows in the front. There was no lock on the door or anything, so the four of them ventured inside, but it was completely empty in there, nothing but thick dust and some mildew. They figured it was a bust, but they'd made a day of finding the place, so they decided to take some Polaroid pictures as a keepsake. My grandma and her girlfriend, who we will call Deb, went and stood in front of the cabin, and my step-grandpa took some pictures, 6 in total. When they got the photos developed and looked at them, though, they were shocked. In all but one of the 6 photos, my grandma and Deb were completely invisible. The camera was pointed right at them, but they just weren't there. In the 6th shot, they are there, standing and smiling arm in arm, but behind them in the cabin windows, hands and faces and about 10 pairs of hands were pressed up against the glass. 4 discernible human faces, right there in the windows, staring at the camera. The cabin was absolutely empty, and there were no other people around for miles. That cabin had no reputation of being haunted either, and yet, these photos, I saw them for myself years ago, were clear as day. My grandma has no other explanation other than ghosts, and I would love to know what you guys think. I can send in a picture for another video if you'd be interested. This is actually a personal story of my own. And when I say that, I do mean yes. This is a personal swamp dweller story. I grew up in rural areas my entire life. Whether it was beef farms in Tennessee or living in the middle of nowhere Florida, I've done it all. Growing up without access to most commonalities we have grown accustomed to. Yeah, that's right. We had no internet, no TV, and yep, you guessed it, no cell phones. I know, the horror, right? I like to think of us as the last true generation before the internet age. Not to say dial-up wasn't around, but most of us at the time really didn't have access to it. But honestly, it really wasn't all that bad outside of the long, boring summer days where we would be cooking alive in the fields. Living out in an old Civil War cabin in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, definitely shilled out some interesting experiences. This story is going to be one of the many I may share in the future if you guys want to hear more of my personal stories in these videos. That is if you enjoy it, though. This story starts off like any other, really. It was a typical Friday night, and my brothers and I were home alone. Being as we didn't have much of anything to entertain ourselves with, we began playing manhunt in and around the house. Most of the time we opted to stay indoors as it was pitch black outside. For a bit more context, our cabin was situated on the top of a rather steep hill that had a long winding driveway running down it. Our cabin had a basement level, the main level, where most of the house was, and the upstairs that only had my room. We also had a back deck that was situated about 10 to 12 feet in the air, if I had to guess. Anyway, back to the story at hand. It was pitch black outside, and going much further than our front porch at night really wasn't much of anything anyone enjoyed doing out there. The game was fun, but was already getting pretty monotonous with the little room we had inside. At this point, I had the bright idea to wander off outside and hide on the roof to make the game a little bit more interesting. This would soon be one of my biggest regrets in life. At first, everything honestly seemed fine. It was rather cold as it was nearing fall, and the weather was just starting to change. There was a slight breeze and the air was crisp and calming. After a few minutes of sitting up on the roof, though, something felt off. I had been practically mesmerized by the sound of the crickets and cicadas. I realized, though, that all the noise had suddenly stopped. This to me seemed very odd, but at the same time, being as naive as I was, I didn't realize that only meant something bad was going to happen. I sit there, as still as possible for a moment, trying to listen as closely as I can. I just can't seem to hear anything aside from the slight breeze through the leaves. Then, as quickly as the silence came, an eruption of noise came from the other end of the roof. For a bit more detail, we had a metal roof at the time, making it very easy to hear when things would walk on the roof. It sounded like something had landed on the opposite end of the roof. I looked over, but could see nothing. This, of course, left me rather unnerved, and my first thought was to exit the situation. Before panicking fully, I remembered it could be my brothers messing with me, since surely they would have given up looking for me by now. I opened up my window and called my brothers. They both ran up the stairs shouting and complaining that the roof was off limits. As my oldest brother got to me, I asked him if he had been messing with me and making noises on the roof. He, of course, denied this and wanted to come up and investigate. So he and I slowly made our way to the middle of the roof and listened for a moment. Everything went quiet around us as it had earlier. At this point, I was already on edge and ready to karate chop a demon in the neck if I had to. We hear what sounds like a pounding noise on the far end of the roof in the opposite direction of where we were standing. After what I think were three sets of six pounding noises, it charged us. Well, I think it did anyway. It sounded like hooves were running on the metal roof, but the only issue was, is we couldn't see a thing. The entire roof was clear aside from us, that is, but somehow we were hearing these footsteps. We could even feel the indentations going around us. It quickly approached us and began running circles around us. I held my arms out to try to see if I could feel anything, but I couldn't. The weirdest part of it all, though, is that I could feel the vibrations of the footsteps. But I could not actually see anything in the air, or feel anything. The footsteps circled us for what seemed like many minutes, but were probably no more than a minute or so at most. It suddenly stopped circling us, and we could hear the steps trail off the roof and disappear into thin air. We quickly ran inside and locked the windows and doors and huddled up inside, freaked the hell out. this is just one of the many creepy stories I have had in this cabin. As I said in the start of the story, if you guys would like me to share more stories, I will gladly do so. I know I don't very much share my stories on this channel, because I'd like to share your stories. But if you'd like to hear more, let me know in the comments. And thank you guys for listening to my story. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true cabin in the woods stories. I love cabins. Even from that haunted one I lived in, I think I would live in one again. I hope you guys enjoyed my story at the very end as well, and definitely let me know if you want to hear more of my personal experiences. I'd love to share them. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it really helps me a ton in the YouTube algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new post. I upload almost every single day, on all things natural and supernatural. I also upload almost every single day on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find podcasts online. So definitely go over there and check that out and download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a cabin in the woods story or something else, be sure to submit your experience at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you guys want to support the swamp outside of liking this video and subscribing, be sure to check out the merch store. I have t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and even face masks. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.